¿Qué hace, negrito? ¿Todo bien? ¿Todo bien, negro?
I don't understand really
¿Cómo
what
no?
negrito means. Are you saying I am black or black, little blackie, little black guy?
Well, literally, yeah,
Because I'm
that.
a big white guy, actually. So why don't we ask Maya May, a black friend of mine, how she feels about being black here in Buenos Aires?
I have an easier time being black here than I do have being black in the States. Like, as far as racism goes, people. I've never walked into a store here and they don't and had any of them see anything except for dollars. You know,
Oh, right.
being
'Cause here they know you have dollars.
yeah,
Yeah.
American, being American, being a black American trumps, you know, being American trumps being black here. I mean, they could give a crap if I'm black. As a matter of fact, it makes it more obvious that I'm American when I walk into a place. So as far as any business stuff that I've had to do here, it's 10 times easier. When I'm in the States, you know, I used to have an Audi TT, and people just assumed I was like a rapper or a model or some other, you know, not, I didn't invest in real estate. No,
You
that's
mean
about
you're
how.
not you mean you're not a rapper?
I love to be a rapper.
Dan Carling is the expat. Fernando Farias is the local. BA Cast, the Buenos Aires podcast.
Episode 11, December 16, 2010.
Today we're going to be dealing with race and racism issues in connection with recent events here in Buenos Aires.
The language section, in connection with that also, will bring us the use of the word negro, referring to a person here in Argentina.
The third installment of the Laws of Mate.
The Laws of Mate.
And yes, a little bit of satisfaction for Argentines after episode 10's desecration of Argentine values in the top 5 mess by Frank Almeida of Sugar and Spice.
Don't you guys like desecrating values in this country? Isn't that what you guys are all about?
No,
desecration
not,
of values?
No, not if you're messing with our most sacred values, such
like
as
sandwiches de mía.
Or alfajores.
Oh, so sacred.
That was such a golpe bajo. And so
dry alfajores, so sacred.
Cachate. As a response to that, we've got this week the top 5 things that make things by Yankees that make me go Quincha pelotas.
As always, episodes on BACast.com. Send your messages to contact at BACast.com or through our Facebook group.
And there is a very special surprise at the end. We're going to have a guest presenter for the Chow Tune.
So special.
The expats of Buenos Aires have their say. This is the Expat Chat.
Well, actually, this would qualify also as a local chat, but whatever.
I'm Vero Roberts, and I run a small boutique firm, a medical tourism firm here in Buenos Aires. Okay, have some advice for you on tipping in Buenos Aires. Actually, there is very little tipping in Buenos Aires, so when you get here, forget about the tax times 2 rule or the 20% rule, because porteños don't tip. When you take a cab, the cab driver is not expecting a tip, and he'll even give you back the 20 cents. Although from expats now, they're starting to expect a tip. If they hear you speak English or another foreign language, they think you have dollars, euros, or sterling pounds. That's the bus in the background. So they do expect a tip from foreigners.
This chat you have just heard was taped at the Drinking Liberally event of every Monday in central Buenos Aires. Check it out on Facebook.
BACast. BAACast.
Okay, here's the thing. If you're not in Buenos Aires or if you don't follow the news very much, let me tell you that last week everybody was talking about the takeover of a park in a southern district of Buenos Aires by a group of poor families, out of which many are from neighboring countries. For example, Bolivia.
Okay, so they took the lands because they supposedly have nowhere to live. Now, to me, the conclusion must be, can only be, that inflation is driving these people out of their home.
It's one.
That's the only possible way. Because otherwise they would get work and they would just solve the problem by getting more work. I don't think, by and large, I don't think that most people are truly and utterly lazy. They will go out and find work to make ends meet. People do that.
But, I mean, there are several factors involved in this. Many people who have an address in the visa find it very, very difficult to find a regular job.
Because of course.
They are discriminated as soon as they inform, where do you live? I live in Villa Número 20. Okay, yeah, we'll call you tomorrow.
How does this relate to the word negro?
Well, the fact is that this bring to the surface the racism or the hatred or the xenophobia or the fear of the aliens or what are perceived as aliens in the city by the middle class of Buenos Aires or the residents of Buenos Aires.
This is negro used in the negative sense. This is in negro as in a negative. Classist remark,
no,
but not necessarily a racist remark.
Well, I don't know. I see it as a racist slur. Let's go into the definition of the word negro.
Okay, black.
Literally black. But when you're referring to a person, it has two very opposed meanings. Because on the opening of the show, I told you, que se negro.
Right. That's and every basketball team I've ever played on here, everyone says that all the time.
Yeah.
And it's totally normal and it's cool.
It's
fine.
It's acceptable. And
it's like, que tal flaco.
It's a nickname.
It's
I mean, actually, someone who is morocho,
right,
who has got dark hair, could be called a negro. Negro between friends, like tapping you the shoulder. Friendliest
right.
way of addressing a friend.
In the negative sense is, in my opinion, a very classist remark. It's talking about poor people or people who do things of quote-unquote low class, like urinate in the street. That's something a negro would do.
Yeah, but I mean, the weight of the word negro, estos negros bolivianos, estos negros de mierda, as many people are saying publicly or privately these days, negros de mierda, estos negros que se vayan, send them out. My opinion is that it's in the weight, eh? Not in the meaning. It's similar to nigger, as offensive as nigger.
You know, you have a person like Maya May, who is so much more black than the Bolivianos, and of African descent, but is not treated or seen as...
I'm usually told when people accidentally say negro de mierda in front of me.
they accidentally say...
Oh, yeah. My ex's family, that used to come out quite a bit. And then they'd all turn to me and they'd say, no, pero vos negra de alma, no de pie.
And that's my sort of problem with how this could be defined as a racist or racial issue.
Well, because they...
To me, it's a national or nationalist issue and a class issue. It's they're poor.
Yeah.
We're afraid that they're going to rob our houses. We're afraid that they're going to piss in the street. We're afraid they're going to litter or whatever, or loiter or both or all the above. And to me, the racism that was prevalent in the United States was a lot more about the color of your skin means you're a bad person.
I understand what you say, and I agree, but in 95, 96, 97% of the cases, when they are using that, they are meaning someone of, how to say it, mestizo background. People
right.
with darker skins
right.
than the people of Buenos Aires, the residents of Buenos Aires, who claim to be like the owners, the descendants from the huge wave of European immigration of the early 20th century, those are the guys who nowadays consider to be the legitimate inhabitants of the city, whereas the aliens are the immigrants from Bolivia, Paraguay, Peru, and also from the interior of Argentina.
But isn't this just another instance of border countries who have poorer populations who immigrate to a richer country? Argentina, in this case, is a richer country. Steal jobs and quote-unquote steal housing and quote-unquote steal whatever from the native population. And the native population, I mean, there are how many countries in the world that have the same issue?
Mexicans in the U.S., Moroccans in Spain.
Exactly.
The gypsies in France and the Albanians in Italy.
It happens
all over the
world. And the Canadians in New York.
The point is that many, many people in Buenos Aires at the moment think that there were no problems with those immigrants and their relationship with the locals.
It's the same as the European immigration to the United States turn of the century.
The Irish. The Irish and the
Irish and the Italians and the Polish. All of them. You know, the NINA was a sign that frequently was seen in New York. It said, no Irish need apply. Well, what about all this American and first world immigration here?
Mate, tomo latte, dude. Le pongo ketchup al churrasco. Vos te das cuenta que no soy de acá. Soy un yankee en Buenos Aires. Mírame caminar por Corrientes. Ya me estoy yendo a cenar. Aunque son las 6 de la tarde y los porteños recién van a merendar. Oh, soy legal, un emigrante legal, soy un yanqui en Buenos Aires. Ya tengo el DNI y me anoté en AFI, soy un yanqui.
So being a yanqui in Buenos Aires,
we are singing in the song. Soy un inmigrante legal.
Right.
I'm a legal immigrant, which is actually technically not the case in many European and American immigrants
absolutely.
In Buenos Aires. They have to go to Uruguay every 3 months.
The real big key is they have money. You know, if you're coming to a country and you have money to spend, that's how Americans and Brits and Canadians are seen here. The people living around that park, their perception is these are immigrants who are here. They're here probably illegally, and they're probably stealing work. That's their perception of the situation.
Even though it's completely false.
Of course.
I mean, many of these people...
When do people operate in reality? Fer, I mean, 90% of people do not operate in reality. Us and them is always so easy to sell.
This podcast is brought to you by Anuva Wines. ANUVAWines.com.
The laws of money. Cold mate is bad.
However, many people let a couple of rounds pass because they prefer softer mate.
Although I've heard that some people actually do drink cold mate on purpose.
Yeah, that's...
With a juice mixture or something like that?
Yeah, that's tereré, but that's not porteño. It's from Mesopotamia, Misiones.
Very important law.
Of mate. Don't ask for the bombilla to be cleaned.
Don't ask for the bombilla to be cleaned.
You know, that's like saying to your mate mates, you're disgusting. If you think mate isn't hygienic, isn't clean, well, just don't drink it in group.
Mate. Holding the mate.
You know, holding the mate...
Oh, yeah. Pásame el micrófono, dale.
Holding the mate for too long is almost disrespectful. Pass on the microphone, because the mate is like a microphone to you.
Pasa el mate, que no es un micrófono.
VA Cast, the Buenos Aires podcast.
We found on a blog called Tara and Karina Go Out, this one written by Karina.
This is written by Karina, because I know Tara, of the Frost family.
Okay.
A notorious expat family here in Buenos Aires.
Hello. Hello, Frost.
So anyway, Karina has compiled a list of what to expect from gyms in Buenos Aires. The gym is a show. It's like a procession of peacocks. And you bet the girls are dressed in tank tops they could wear out one night and walk on the treadmill with their long, loose hair flowing down.
What's wrong with that? I mean, how do you go to the gym back
in the
US?
Well, I think people are a little bit more businesslike.
You dress like nuns and priests to go to the gym?
No, but girls put their hair up. They don't let their hair down at the gym. The idea is to get a sweat and to do a workout.
Okay.
Teachers and trainers are called profesores, and they greet with a kiss on the cheek. Most jacked women, meaning really, really ripped, buff, you know, in shape women, are the ones who take the body pump class.
What's the Spanish for that? What's the Castellano for that word?
En forma. I don't know.
En forma.
Yeah. Karina was really confused because for the longest time she thought no women really knew how to sweat it out and work at the gym because all she saw was the people who were walking really slowly on the treadmill. It turns out, they're all in the body pump class. The gym makes the city a smaller place, she says. You see the trainers walking their dogs in your neighborhood and you recognize the regulars. I definitely find that to be true. By the way, at the gym, no water fountains and no towels to be found. So bring your own towel, bring your own water bottle. That's something I learned early on. By the way, one of my biggest complaints about Buenos Aires in general is the gyms here suck. That's why I'd like to recommend Buenos Aires Boot Camp and Buena Onda Yoga for my friend Paul Strobel and my friend Katrina Petney. They do a great job.
Do they provide towels and water fountains?
They actually do.
That's great.
Not water fountains, but towels at yoga. Paul, I better get a free class out of that.
BA Cast.
Bueno, muchachos, the time has come for our revenge.
Fer is having his rebuke.
You know, last week, Frank Almeida sent us his top five mess in which he desecrated very sacred values.
Which I relished reading.
Boys, give me some backing because we're going to get our revenge now. We have this week, the top 5 comments, criticisms and observations by developed countries' nationals that make me, and many Argentines, I know that, go like...
Qué pesados.
Puesto número 5.
Do you tango? Really? 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 Really?
Yes, really. Do you tango, Fer?
Yeah, I learned that at kindergarten, like all Argentines.
I want you to know that the vein in Fer's forehead right now is popping out.
I mean, it's just like all Americans are white, tall, and blonde.
Yes, exactly. Just like
so
me.
So all us Argentines dance tango.
Fabulous!
Puesto número 4.
The bus, the colectivo system in Buenos Aires, is difficult to use.
What? I get lost.
Have you heard of a Thomas guide? Well, it works just the same. Just the same of a Thomas guide. Actually, it starts with the same letter. T. Guíate.
Puesto número 3.
The morcilla, or the blood sausage, one of the most delicious inventions on earth. It's good. But I don't like the texture.
I don't like the texture, fam. It's really hard to eat.
It's this is as sticky as peanut butter. I don't know why don't you like it.
The chunky parts in the middle, the sticky peanut butter. I like the sticky part, but the chunky I don't like.
It doesn't matter.
Feel funny inside.
Focus on the flavor. Don't you say we are close-minded regarding food? Open your mind. Try variety.
Puesto número 2.
Meat cooking levels. Medium rare, medium blue, very medium. There are 2 further levels between a punto and jugoso. Come on.
Puesto número 1.
This is... I heard this so many times. The concept of variety. Okay, I can understand how variety is good for a competitive economy, for consumers. But when I'm tossed in the face... that back in the United States, you have like 150 brands of toilet paper, that you have 125 brands of barbecue sauce, and...
But everybody's ass is different, Fer. Everyone's taste buds are different.
But 150 types? Come on.
You don't think there's 150 types of assholes in the world?
No.
I think there's 150 types of assholes just in Buenos Aires.
B-A-Cast.
B-A-Cast.
B-A-Cast. The Buenos Aires Podcast.
Our two cents for this week is an announcement. Next week we'll be taping at the famed Sugar Bar in Palermo.
We want you to come to a special happy hour. Come down to Sugar and bring us your best story of a cultural or language misunderstanding that you've had here in Buenos Aires. So this is your chance to be on BA Cast, and I want to give you an example of a great story to tell.
Go ahead.
So for example, when I first got here to Buenos Aires in 2004, I met a girl. She later became my wife. And about a week after I started dating this girl, I was having a conversation with her. Oh, you're so cute. And I said, pero sos tan linda y tenés...
Ya estaba chamullando.
Yeah.
You were already chamullando.
And I was like, and I said, and you have this way about you that you move. Y como caminas y como ves y como te veo, pareces un gato.
Ooh.
I said to her. So a week later, I'm telling my roommate now, hey, man, you know, this girl I'm dating, she looked at me really funny last week, and I don't really know why.
What did you tell her?
And my friend goes, what did you say? And this is an Argentine guy, right? And he's like, ¿qué dijiste? And I was like, well, I said, pareces un gato. And he said, are you fucking kidding me? You told her she looks like a whore?
A very expensive whore.
A very expensive whore. Fantastic. Yeah, and I married her 5 years later.
Well, that sort of anecdotes and stories.
If you can top that story, we have a prize for you. Come on down to Sugar next week.
Costa Rica 4619. Costa Rica 4619. This is for expats and also English-speaking locals as well.
Drink specials. 10 peso pints, wine, or trago nacional. Come down, have a drink, and try to get on BA Cast.
The date, then, is Tuesday, December 21, 7 p.m. Argentine time, of course. Costa Rica 4619 Sugar Bar.
And now, the chow tune this week, not presented by us, but presented by a very special guest.
Yes, we're very pleased and honored to leave you in the good hands of...
Casey Kasem.
The hits from coast to coast.
Before we share this week's number one track with you, I have to share a letter from Margaret Mowry, an expat from Chicago who's living here in Buenos Aires. And she writes, Dear Casey, I am a tall single woman living here in the city of Buenos Aires. I've had so much trouble finding a guy to date who's taller than me. It's not like I'm having trouble finding guys. They scream and shout at me constantly, but none of them are over 6 feet tall. What do you suggest I do? Well, Margaret, what I suggest is you listen to this week's number one hit single, which is all over the air from the mountains of Seven Colors in Jujuy to the glaciers of Santa Cruz, from the vineyards in Mendoza to the plains of La Pampa. Argentina is going crazy for Ricky Maravilla, or Ricky the Marvelous, and his number one track, ¿Qué tendrá el petiso? Or, what does the short guy have that attracts all the ladies? I'm not exactly sure, but maybe he's hiding something big.
¿Qué tendrá ese petiso? ¿Qué comentan las mujeres? Tiene magia, tiene hechizo, pero ¿dónde es que lo tiene? ¿Qué tendrá ese petiso para ser tan diferente? Si es pelado, medio chueco, y además le faltan dientes. Ese secreto, que me lo diga. Tal vez, muchacha, yo así consiga. ¿Dónde está la clave? ¿Cuál es el motivo? ¿Cómo es este asunto? Dígame dónde lo guarda, dónde lo tiene escondido. ¿Qué tendrá el petiso cuando las provoca? ¿Qué tendrá el petiso que a las mujeres las vuelve locas? ¿Qué tendrá el petiso cuando las provoca? ¿Qué tendrá el petiso que a las mujeres las vuelve locas?